Luke chapter 5 and verse 9, just got a little simple thought for you tonight. Nothing you're going to write home about, but maybe get you to thinking. Luke 5 and 9. This is the first calling of Peter and Andrew and James and John. And Jesus passing by the seashore, and you know they've caught nothing, toiled all night. He said, cast your net on the other side, and here's what happened. For he was astonished, and all that were with him at the drought of fish, or the draught of fish, fishes. The only place you can say fishes is right here, which they had taken. And so was also astonished James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. You see that net? You caught nothing. You went from nothing to your net's breaking. You're going to go from this emptiness to this fullness, catching men. Then in John 21 and 10, as you know, Peter has been discouraged. We'll talk a little bit about that tonight. And now he's back on the boat. Jesus has risen from the dead. He finds them out once again toiling. And Jesus said to them, bring me of the fish which ye have now caught, after he instructed them once again to cast the net on the other side. And again, they caught a multitude of fish, but the net did not break. And he saith unto him the third time, skipping down a little further, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. The first time he told him to catch men. Now he says, feed sheep. So I want to take this and kind of put this together for you. Fish and feed. Okay, not fish and chips, it's fish and feed. The double calling. The double calling that's on our lives. Lord, I come before you tonight. I'm thankful for the calling and the gift of God are without repentance. I'm so glad, God, that you looked down and called us. Everyone that's here has been called. Many are called, few are chosen. And of those that are chosen, even fewer will be faithful. But Lord, help us to be of those three categories, called, chosen, and faithful. We give you the praise for what you're doing in our church in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. The call to fish and the call to feed. It's interesting that the first call that God comes to us with is he calls us out of darkness. He called you, Brother Johnson, out of darkness. When he called you, you was in darkness. The only one that ever was born in the light was Christ. For he is the light. And in him is no darkness. And so we all are first called out of darkness, right? And he calls us out of darkness into what kind of light, the Bible says? Marvelous light. It's not just light like we have here, although this is marvelous light. It's marvelous what light can do, right? I mean, you can fumble around with something. I can't read this paper. There's little I can do in the darkness. Just feel around. But it's marvelous what light can bring. He called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. No one started out in the light again but Christ, because he was that marvelous light. And the first call of God is simply, listen close, to bring you out of darkness. It's simply to bring you out from where you are. If God could use you in the darkness, he'd use you in the darkness. But he doesn't use darkness. He doesn't use darkness. The first thing God said in Genesis 1 and 1 and 1 and 2 was, let there be light. That was a marvelous day. And that was day one. If you don't have light, there's no need to go to day two, day three, and so forth. You need the light. And he was the light of the world. And so the problem with so many people in the world is they are conformed to the thinking of the world. And it's amazing how that everything changes in the world but the way men think. Jerry and I was talking about how our generation has lived, I mean, from the old typewriter, tick, 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 ching, tick, 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 to now you just thumb it, you know, and send it, and print it pages at a time, put it in memory, store it in the cloud, You know, cell phones. You know, I remember the old party lines. You remember the party lines? And your phone would ring twice and theirs would ring once. You answered anyway. Put that phone down, Martha. Yeah, you have to real slow. Click. Yeah, y'all know. It's come a long ways from that now with these cell phones taking pictures. When they come out with pictures on cell phones, I said, what do you need a picture on a cell phone for? You got cameras for that. Now Brother Buddy and I sending hog pictures to each other. Look at this one. Look at this one. They got a picture of that one. Yeah, there you go. Getting my picture there. And it's amazing how much has transformed but man's mind. It's evil continually. Even in Adam and Eve, their mind was conformed to the world. And so things change, but man's mind. And that's why the Lord said, Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, he said, be not conformed to this world or the thinking of this world, but be ye transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. You will never prove it in darkness. You will never prove it if you're conformed to this world. You'll never prove the will of God and be carnally minded. Never, never, never. Not going to happen. And the first call of God is simply to bring you away from the things that influence you in the world. Whether you know it or not, I feel sorry. I was talking to a man today that good Christian man works at one of the plants there. And he was telling me, you know, man, they said it's better than it used to be. But and my heart goes out to people. I'm able to sit there in my little office and I've designed it that way and went to school so I could do it that way. And I got my son and my daughter and my daughter-in-law in there. And it was just a God. I thank God for that. But I do pray for you that don't have that, because it's difficult to be around the world and it not have some effect on you. And so he calling us from the influences of the world so that he can fulfill the promises that he wants to fulfill in us. But there's no need to fulfill a promise if you're going to stay in the world, right? You do not need the promises of God so you can stay worldly. That's not how God works. And he called Abraham first out. He called him out before he said, look, I'm calling you, but I'm calling you away from what you're in. And it's amazing to me how the people can be related to you and not connected to you. They're related to you, but they're not connected to you. They're not connected to the God that you're connected to. Oh, they say they know God, but I know many people that say they know God and wish some of you were sitting on a bar stool tonight and not who you are and where you are and the kind of church and religion you're in tonight. And so you can be related to people and still not connected to them. But the first call from God simply makes us aware of the promises of God and his blessings by living righteously. When God called Abraham the first time, he called him away from his kindred. And he said, I will make you the father of many nations. Not where you're at, though. You come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and I will receive you unto my own. So he's telling him, come out from there, and I will make you a great nation. This is a man that's 90 years old struggling to have one. And he's going to believe that if he leaves his house, he's going to have nations? He's going to be the father of nations? That's a lot of faith. To walk away from his father's home and everything that he had and go look for another place. But Abraham had so much faith in the calling of God. Now listen, not in the promises of God so much, the calling of God. You have to have faith in your calling, in the calling of God, that when God told him to get ready and leave, he packed his stuff up and he left. And the Bible says that Abraham staggered not at the promises of God. Now, what do you think about when I say stagger? Think about a drunk man. That's what I think about. Because drunks stagger. They go this way a while, and then they go that way a while, and they look like they're ready to fall, and then they catch themselves, and they just stagger. And that's what I think about. But the Bible says Abraham staggered not. To stagger is to be unstable and unsure and not sure-footed, unfaithful, wavering, double-minded. And the Bible says a man that's double-minded is unstable in all of his ways. And I found that to be true. And so Abraham had faith in his calling. He was not in a valley of indecision. He believed that what God said he could do, he would do. And his faithfulness, God counted that for righteousness. I'm not saying Abraham wasn't a righteous man, but his faithfulness counted for righteousness. And so Abraham left, listen closely, looking for a city who hath foundation, whose builder and maker was God. Many times we say looking for a city whose builder and maker is God, but the book said he's looking for a city whose foundation is builder and maker is God. Because Abraham knew if you don't have a good foundation, don't leave home. He knew your foundation had better be on God. If the foundation of the righteous be destroyed, what shall we stand on? If you take away what I believe in, I don't have anything to stand on. So Abraham was looking for the one that had the sure foundation. And so sometimes the first calling of God, you start sojourning. I know so many people that said, I don't know where to go, but there's a God somewheres. I'm going to start at this church. Well, it ain't. That's not where I want to be. I'm going to go to this church. And they sojourn in church even, or in the world, or talking to you and talking to you. They're looking because there's a calling on their life to find more than what they have. They just know there's a God out there somewhere that is a good God, and they want to be saved, but they don't know about the fulfillment of God's promises when they leave their present status looking for a God they don't even know existed. He was looking for a city whose foundations were builder and maker was God. And you start looking for a city that is founded upon godly principles. And I would have probably rationalized, you know, too much, you know, being analytical like I am sometimes. Because after years of sojourning, he finally has this promised son. And after he has this promised son, God says, offer him up for a burnt offering. Now, wait a minute. The same thing you promised me, you're telling me burn it. I would go, this can't be of God. Wouldn't you? I mean, I would go, this can't be of God. But he was so sure about the calling of God, he said, I and the lad go yonder to worship. He was so sure about it, he could follow the calling of God and never doubt God was in it somewhere. But the Bible says, even in Hebrews, that he believed that if he did slay his son, God was able to raise him up again. That's a strong faith. And I would have probably said, no, God, this can't be you. I thank you for the boy, but it can't be you. But God had called Abraham that he may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. And so when Abraham gets ready to offer his son for a burnt offering and he stretches forth to get the knife, the Bible says that the Lord called again from heaven and the second calling of God came unto him. This was God's second time to call him. The first call, many times, God just leaves a message. You hear anybody call you and say, hey, when you get through whatever you're doing, give me a call. When you get out of that appointment, give me a call. I got something really good to tell you. I got really something good to tell you. And the first call many times from God is a message. It's not the promises. It's the promises you need the second calling. The first calling, hear me, brings you out. That's not all there is to it. This is going to be the fishing part of the sermon. Is to bring you out of the darkness of where you're at. And so Abraham, when he got ready to stretch forth for the knife, the Lord spoke to him. He said, stop, now I know. I know because you have not withheld thy son, thine only son from me. Then he goes on to say, in blessing now I will bless thee. And in multiplying, I will multiply you. It's the second calling that brought him, first calling brings him out. The second calling brings him into the fullness of the first calling. The first calling is the message. The next calling is the blessing. Fulfilling the second call is where the promises of the first call come to fruition. You know, so many people, Brother Johnson, do not live for God long enough to get the second call. That's the problem. They backsliders don't live for God long enough to get the second call. They kind of stagger at the promises of God. They're unsure. I tried church. It didn't work for me. You ever heard that? I tried God. That didn't work for me. I tried the Holy Ghost. That didn't work for me. You hadn't lived long enough. Problem is, you haven't lived long enough. It's like taking one pill and saying, that didn't work for me, I'm going to quit taking them. And so the first call is a call to obedience. Cast the net. See, I'm going someplace on the other side. But we have toiled all night. Okay, keep toiling. The first calling is a call to obedience. The second call is a call to fulfillment of what you've been obedient to. The first call is a call of suffering. No one likes leaving and separation, leaving your home and so forth and looking for a city. Don't even know where you're going. There's a God out there somewhere. I'll go to this church, go to that church. I'll take your Bible study. I'll take your Bible study. And you're looking for a God you are not really acquainted with yet. But the Bible says that when you find him, he will settle you after you suffered a while. I don't know how long a while is, but he says, after you suffered a while, I will perfect you, I will establish you, and I will settle you. That's the fulfillment of the second calling, is when he perfects you, settles you, and establishes you. And such is the case with every one of us that sit here tonight. I believe that we have really a very mature church. A lot of you, I mean, you're going to be here till Jesus comes. I have no doubt about that. But there's a lot of people that come and they're shaky. You're not sure whether they're going to be back next service, let alone next year. I told Sister Raina, how long you been here now? 8 years. A little bit over 8 years. Thank the Lord. That's wonderful, you know. And I told her when she came, I said, now, I want to see you here in 3 years. There's biblical reasons for the 3 years and the 5 years, you know. But once you've been here about 5 years, you've been through enough suffering, you understand it's going to be worth it all. You may still be suffering. I'm not saying you're not. But you understand that there will be a day of fulfillment of God's promises. And you don't stagger at the word of God any longer. So when Jesus called these apostles, there was a double calling. The first calling, just like unto Abraham, was a call of separation from the world. And so when Simon Peter and his brother Andrew were fishing and caught nothing, they had to obey the voice of God or nothing would have happened. Nothing would have happened. He would have went on to another boat. He's looking for people that will obey him when he calls them. So they cast their net into the water, and the Bible says they caught so many fish that their net break, and they called to their partners, James and John, to come help them. And they knew God was in this, Brother and Sister Woodard, because they had gone from nothing. Zero. We have toiled all night and caught nothing. Well, cast your net into the water on the other side, and you shall find. You don't understand. I've been doing this for 20 years. I've been doing this for 30 years. And this is useless. Nevertheless, at thy word. I love people that take you at their word. Nevertheless, I don't understand. I really don't even believe it. To be honest with you, I don't even believe it. We've been out here all night. Who are you anyway? He didn't even know who Christ was. He said, nevertheless, at thy word, throws the net over and the nets break. So many fish. And you know it's God when you go from nothing to your nets breaking. You know it's God. This is now daytime. They catch those fish at night when they can't see. It's now daytime. You don't catch fish in the daytime. Not with the nets like that. And so they know now that it's God calling them. You know God is calling you by the magnitude of the change. I know people that's been called of God. I see people say, well, I found the Lord, and you can't see a lick of change. I begin to wonder. But when I see somebody that looks one way, acts one way, you know, and around this wrong group, and the next time I see them, boy, they're totally different. I know God has called them by the magnitude of the change. And so when he catches all these fish, he comes to the Lord and he said, Lord, depart from me, for I am a wicked man. He realized how humble and how wrong he was. That's what happens when you come to the light. You realize how wicked you are and how dirty you are. He If you want to see if your fingernails are clean, turn on a copy machine, put your hand on there, let it pass by. You don't know till you get the light on it how dirty you are. The Bible says that men prefer darkness, though. And so when he says, depart from me, I'm a wicked man, the Lord picked him up and said, listen, I'm calling you to catch men. I'm not calling you to catch any more of these fish. I'm calling you from henceforth, you shall be fishers of men. You shall catch men. The men that he was comparing them to was like the fish that was coming out of the darkness of the sea. And you're going to catch men and bring them out of darkness into this marvelous light. Now, one thing I've learned, now, I know normally when we catch fish, Brother Ken, we eat them. Sometimes we release them, but basically when you catch fish, you eat them. But we don't eat men, right? He said, you're going to catch men. They had caught these fish to market, to sell, to eat, or whatever. But he said, you're going to catch men. Now, I'm going somewhere tonight. It says, so if you catch men, I've learned that anything you catch and you want to keep it alive, you have to feed it. Catch and feed. Anything you catch. I remember when several times I've seen little ducklings. You know, a mom will have a little duckling. Oh, I want one of those little ducks. And I finally catch me one. Then what do? It wants its mama, number one. It's scared to death. It won't eat. And I've got to feed it. And my daddy said, don't catch anything you won't feed, that you won't take care of. If you're going to keep it alive, if you're going to catch those men, if you're going to preach that gospel, if you're going to teach that Bible study, you got to keep alive what you catch. So you're not going to catch fish anymore, Peter. You're going to catch men. Okay, you with me? And so we have to take care of what we catch. I'm afraid too many times people charter boats out of churches and they catch a lot of men in their crusades, but they don't feed them. They catch them, but they don't feed them. And I don't know about you, Brother Kim, but I have caught bass again that's been caught by somebody else, and they got the scars of being caught. And sometimes if you don't feed what you catch, they get the scars of being caught, and you won't catch them again. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. And so the Apostle Peter was like Abraham. When he got the call, the Bible says he left immediately and began to follow Christ. And you know what he followed him into? Are you still with me? Suffering. The first call is a call to suffering. You must endure hardness like a good soldier. The first call brings you into a wandering stage. At first you go, ooh, thank God I should have been here a long time ago. Thank God for the church, you know. This is wonderful. And then you go back to work. And they go, what's wrong with you? What happened to you? Oh, they got that religion thing, huh? Yeah, that won't last. And you got to face all this suffering and persecution and other people and things like that. And you're wondering. You know, I hate to say it this way, but many times people come to God because they think their troubles will go away. And they realize later they just come into more suffering. So they began to follow them immediately, and they were glad to follow him. They forsook all, the Bible says, and followed him. Boat, daddy, mama, security, finances, and followed him. Because they were sick of King Herod anyway. It's a lot easier to follow somebody else when you're sick of what you're in already. Right? I'm sick of this already, so I might as well try this. He's going to overthrow Herod. Hey, could I sit on the right and sit on the left when you come into your kingdom? It's going to be cool. You know, he's turning water into wine and raising the dead. Surely he's going to have a really big kingdom. Look at the whole world was following him. And guess who was following him too? The apostles. So if you want to be seen, get by somebody else who's being seen. Y'all didn't catch that. If you ever look at the politicians, look behind them. The ones that want to be seen, get by the ones that are being seen. And so they were being seen because Christ was being seen. They were off somebody. And even told the Lord, should we cast a fire down on them like Elias did? Because, boy, they were wanting to do it. And he said, you don't know what spirit you are of. Let me tell you, they were headed into suffering and didn't know it. And so as Jesus' ministry began to wane because he began to pick it up a little bit, began to tell them things like, except you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you're not going to have any part of me. I'm headed to a cross, by the way, and I'm going to suffer many things at men's hands, and they're going to crucify, oh, be it far from you. And he started to lose his support, and even his own apostles, so much so that Peter said, Lord, I'll defend you. They may all leave you, but not I. And listen to what he told him. He said, put up your sword, for they that live by the sword shall die by the sword. He said, Satan hath desired to have you, that he might sift you as wheat. But I prayed for you that what fell not? Your faith in your calling fails not. Because you ever lose faith in your calling, your history. And after 3.5 years, they followed him to a cross where he died. And then Peter was wondering, what then for us? I have given up everything. What then for us? And due to the pressures of life, Peter decided that he would go back to the boat and do what he was familiar with. Pressure always seems to make people go back to what they're more comfortable with. When the children of Israel got across the Red Sea, the pressure of not having food and water, we want to go back to Egypt. And we have to be careful. The only reason they didn't go back, you know why they didn't go back? The Red Sea wouldn't open again. That's the only reason they didn't go back. And the problem with trying to release your pressure is that you release your promise too. If you say, take away my cup, isn't that what? Then you lose the promise too. If you say, get me out of this agony, you lose the promise too. So even Christ had to say, along with the apostles, nevertheless, for this cause came I into this world. So you can't relieve the pressure. It's there. I'm sorry. I apologize. I wish I could do it different. But I'm telling you, when you come to Christ, you're going to take some pressure. You're going to take some ridicule. You're going to take all kinds of things. But if you try to relieve the pressure, what's going to happen? And look different, act different, all kinds of things. You lose your promise. Whew, glory. And so now many of these apostles, we find them, Christ has risen from the dead, but they're not, you know, they're going about, there's not going to be no kingdom. He may have risen from the dead. Yeah, I saw him, but there's no kingdom. So they go back to the boat fishing and again catching nothing. And now we get into the second calling. And so Jesus asked them, have you any meat? They said, none. He said, cast your net on the other side and you shall find. They did, and filled the net up again, and John said, it is the Lord. And Peter said, oh, here we go again. And I'm a wicked man, Lord, depart from me. Here we go again. But this is the second calling unto this man. So Peter is the last one to drag the net to shore, and Christ says to him, bring me the fish that ye have caught. You remember he said, from henceforth you're going to catch men. He said, bring to me of the fish that you have caught. And when he brought the fish to land, the slimy old flopping fish, he looked, and on the fire, Jesus had fish prepared for them to eat. And they dined. And the Bible says that after they had dined, Jesus turned to Peter and said, do you love me. Now, I'm going to tell you something about love. You will never love until you learn to hate. Now, that don't sound right, but it is right. Until you learn to hate sin, you'll never learn to love the things of God. What will drive you to loving God is hating sin. And when you hate evil, you begin to love the things of God. But if you try to love the things of God without hating that, you will never love God like you should love God. And that's what Peter's challenged with. Do you love me? What are you doing out here? I called you to catch fish. I can provide this. Here you go. It's already done. But I called you to catch men. So how much do you love me? Do you love me more than these? And he said, you know, three times, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. And the depth of this second calling is not based upon you wanting to get out of your troubles anymore. The first calling, well, I'm going to live for God, I'm going to get my life right. And you kind of believe, and I don't mean that God deceives us, but we all kind of believe life's going to be better when we find God. And you find out that sometimes it's not the case in the beginning. Because you're going to go through the suffering first before you get the blessings. So, do you love me? And he said, yea, Lord, thou knowest all things. You know I love you. And he said then, watch. First he told him, catch fish. Now he says, feed, not my fish, not my aquarium, my sheep. My sheep. You are called to catch men out of the world. I convert them into sheep. They're my sheep. When Jesus talked about something that he possessed, it was always my sheep. I'm the shepherd. My sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. He always related to the saints as sheep. You say, well, oh, he was talking about the Jews. No, he wasn't, because they didn't know his voice. They didn't know him. He was talking about the saints, those that have been converted. So he tells him, if you love me, this second calling, my brothers and sisters, is to feed what you caught. You can catch men all day long. That's great. But can you feed them? Sometimes I think the Lord expects us to be like Paul and Apollos. One plants, another waters, but God gives the increase. It's not necessarily that you have to do everything, but it is where you should put these people that you win to God or witness to in a place they can be fed. If you're not getting fed here, please go. It's that simple. You've got to be fed. You've got to be fed. Because I want to feed what I catch. As they come tonight, I'll tell you a little story as I close out here. I remember one time driving down the road when we was in Lake Charles and behind the hospital, and I saw a box turtle crossing the road. Big old box turtle. And Melanie loved turtles. Ariel loved birds, but Melanie loved turtles. And so I stopped, and I caught that turtle. That turtle was so big. You know how box turtles, they close up and you can't see anything? That turtle was so big, she'd go, and everything was still out. I mean, she like she was hiding, you know. And it was hardly anything went in the shell. So we called her Tubby. So we brought Tubby home. Daddy built a sandbox for Tubby because you got to feed what you catch. Okay? So yeah, well, I caught it, but can you provide for what you caught, Peter? Catching them's one thing. Feeding them's a long thing. Long. See, catching something don't take but a few minutes. Feeding them takes a lifetime. And so I made a sandbox for Tubby, and we took like blackberries, and Tubby would see us coming, and Tubby was trained like a dog. Come over there and open his mouth. We'd give Tubby a blackberry, and boy, Tubby would eat the blackberry. Well, one day, the he, I thought, turned out to be a she because it laid an egg. Laid a little egg. And so found that egg there and it said, ooh, Melanie's laid an egg. She said, I want to hatch it. I said, but baby, you have to incubate that egg. You know what incubation is? You have to provide the right environment for growth. That's what incubation is. And that's what a church should be too. Churches should be not only hospitals, but incubators. That provides the environment for growth. Not, you know, some people will need what you don't need. You say, well, I don't need no fellowship. I just say, well, that's fine. But some people do. Well, I don't need no music. Well, that's good. But some people do. So you provide an environment that people can grow. And so I looked up how long does it take a box turtle egg to hatch. 65 to 70 days at 84 degrees. And you got to keep it moist. You, that brother Buddy, you know. How do you got to keep eggs moist? That old hen sits on the edge, she'll turn them over, you know. And some of y'all aren't country folks. You're looking at me like I'm crazy. So anyhow, we got a damp cloth, and we got a light, and we got a box, and we got all of this. And I'm like, that egg is going to rot. You know, when sometimes the hens sit on the egg, one won't hatch, and you just pocket a little bit, and you'll find out it's rotten. And so we waited, and we waited, and we waited. It seemed like months. And one day my phone rang at the office and it was Melanie. She said, Daddy, we got a little turtle. And I went home, and that little turtle that was in darkness had been in the proper incubation and pecked its way out into the marvelous light. And it opened up. You know what? You got to feed what you birth. And we called it TJ, Tubby Jr. And we had to feed Tubby Jr. We had to water Tubby Jr. And Tubby Jr. grew. And it grew and it grew. Till finally one day, Melanie said, I'm going to let it go. And we went out in the woods and I let it go on your property, Mom, out there in Reeves. But you have to care for them till they can go on their own. Brother Petrie, you've been in this a long time. You've seen a lot of people born into this and they get no care. Hallelujah. The calling of God is not with, it's no, he doesn't repent that he's called you. It doesn't mean that, some people think that means once I got it, I always got it. God didn't, you know, that's not what it means. What it means is he's not sorry he gave it to you. He wouldn't give you a gift or a calling if you didn't deserve that gift or calling. But it's up to you to keep it. It's up to you to keep it. And so if you catch anything, my brothers and sisters, you have to keep it and feed it. And so he was telling the Apostle Peter in my little Bible study to you tonight was, I called you to catch fish. I'll do the changing into the sheepfold. And when I bring them into the sheepfold, I need you to feed them. I need you to feed them. So I wish, as I close tonight, if you know anybody that needs encouragement, you know anybody that needs help, if they need help, open up your wallet. If they need help financially, if they need encouragement, get on that cell phone, whatever you've got, and call them and help incubate them and help encourage them, because we all want to grow. And you can't grow if you're not encouraged. You know why most people quit church? They get discouraged. Discouragement is one of the biggest enemies that people that go to church fight. Amen. God bless you tonight. I hope I've taught you a little something about fish and feed, the double calling.